Welcome to the Fearlessly Authentic Sash and Soul Podcast, the show that goes beyond the stage, prioritizing a healthy mindset, overall well-being, and triumphs in the pageant journey. In each episode, we dive into the transformative power of embracing authenticity fearlessly.
From mindset mastery and self-care strategies to success stories that inspire, this podcast is your go-to guide for navigating the pageant world with confidence and resilience. Join us as we embark on a journey of self-discovery, empowerment, and celebrate the stories of those who fearlessly embraced their authenticity on the path to pageant success. I'm Lila Sherry.
And I'm Rayanna Johnson. Welcome to Sash and Soul. Hey, everyone. Welcome back.
Hello. Next episode. Here we are.
Yes. We started recording kind of abruptly because I was telling Lila about my night last night. And I was like, we should be recording. This is just kind of funny banter. So we watched the Bachelor finale last night, a girlfriend of mine and I, and my husband AJ was there too. And I was like, yeah, we had a really good time. We went to the grocery store and got the essentials, LaCroix, a box of wine, and some eggs to dye Easter eggs this weekend because we're recording the Friday before Easter right now. And then we went and got sushi and it was just a really good time. So, yeah.
I ask what you thought of the Bachelor finale.
Oh, gosh. To be honest, I wasn't paying that much attention. We were talking about other stuff as we headed on in the background. I thought it was really interesting that the girls got together and really ended the journey the way they did. And I have a lot of respect for it. I do. I thought that showed a level of respect between women that we don't always see on that show. And that's been my frustration with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise, like all of it, because we're just seeing women be catty and they're being portrayed in this way that I don't think is really reflective of who they actually are. And I think it's influencing our culture in a negative way. It's entertaining, but also like cringy. And then oftentimes we have it on, but we're mostly just chatting.
Yeah. No, I agree. I really liked that they kind of stripped down the curtain of Bachelor production. I think that it was the one time that a woman was able to kind of step around production and do what she knew she had to do. And I loved that. I love that because I talk with producers that work with me at the news station and they can essentially predict every move on The Bachelor show and they predict it correctly. And it's all kind of a formula. And this was one moment where she got it wrong. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. We got it wrong. So I appreciated that. That it was kind of, I know they're always like, it's unprecedented. It's the craziest season yet. But I really did appreciate that it was something that we hadn't gotten before.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess talking about misconceptions and things being misconstrued, I didn't even really plan that. But as we're kind of navigating into what we're talking about today, expectations, responsibilities of a title holder, and how to navigate relationships is a big one.
This is a really important topic, and I want to preface it by saying I am a communication and mindset coach, and obviously I'm going to coach interview skills, onstage question, public speaking skills, but I think one thing that we don't talk about enough about what I actually do with clients is I'm coaching interpersonal communication skills as well. Conflict resolution, setting boundaries, showing respect and appreciation, collaboration, all of these really essential professional skills that you will use throughout your year. And you can attest to this too, Lila. I'm sure we'll talk about times that we've made some communication errors that cause more conflict than what we had intended and what we've learned from that. So it's an important aspect to realize that your interpersonal skills can really make or break experiences that you have as a title holder.
And let's be honest, far beyond being a title holder, man, I know we talk a lot about pageantry in these episodes and being a title holder and jobs of the title holder, but all of this is so, it's such a mirror to the real world. And to me, that is, this year will be over. The people that I talk to will be over. But who am I going to be at the other end of this? And being able to know how to communicate effectively, not just on a stage, because I'm not going to be on a stage for the rest of my life, but with people, with real people, with people in text messages, in emails. This is not to say that there's all this clout on my phone, but there are a lot of communication avenues that happen, whether that is through social media, whether that is a plethora of text messages from directors or people who need your advice or people who need you to answer some questions for a newsletter, right? You're constantly communicating. And that has been actually kind of a surprise for me. I've never had on my to-do list, like, text X, Y, and Z back. It's never had to be like on my to-do list. And it's on my to-do list now this year. And so to say all that, that there have obviously been instances where I haven't known how to best communicate, or I've struggled in trying to navigate relationships, and I found myself coming to you a lot. I got to some points where I was like, I don't even want to send this text message. I don't know what to say. And it's funny because I always want to stand up for myself, and then I'm constantly reminded how there is a respectful way to do it. So I'm going to kind of let you take over now. That was my long intro.
I have to say, it has been through trial and error and practice and mentorship, coaches, therapists that I have learned the skills that I try to practice, but it's not perfect. It's constantly a battle within of trying to navigate that, because it all stems from your emotions. Your communication is going to stem from your emotions. Here's what happens too, is you're going to have a perception of what's going on around you. You may be in a circumstance, some kind of experience that you're having, maybe in communication with someone else, and you are interpreting from your perception what that other person is saying or what their behavior means. And it may be way off from what their actual intention was. And that's where miscommunication happens. So you're going to have then an emotional reaction based off of your perception. If you're perceiving it as something this person is doing on purpose to hurt you, then you're going to have a real negative experience and emotion reaction to that. But if you're perceiving it as, you know, something that they're doing because they're confused or they're scared, you're going to have a different emotional reaction, maybe one of empathy or compassion. So your emotional reaction then is going to drive how you communicate. And something to keep in mind is that your communication effectiveness, 55% of that is your nonverbals. 38% is how you sound when you're talking. And only 7% is your words that you're actually saying. So if you think about, like, and if you've ever heard this, when you're talking to, like, let's say, like, my dogs, I have these two sweet rescue pups, Gunner and Gracie. And if I'm talking to them in this sweet, kind, cute little voice and just saying, "You're such a bad dog. You're such a bad dog. You're just horrible." They're going to be looking at me, wagging their tails, like, "This is great." But if I'm like, "No, bad dog. You pooped in the house. Bad dog." They're going to be cowering. So they don't even know what I'm saying, but they see my nonverbals and they hear it in my voice. So keep that in mind. Your communication effectiveness, the majority of it, we're talking 93% of it, is not actually the words that you're saying, which is crazy. So that's how I'm saying emotions are really driving then how, like, what you are, how someone else is interpreting what you're saying.
It's kind of a side note, but then how much is communication or miscommunication emotional regulation?
Oh. So much. So much. You and I can both attest to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you've come to me with some kind of a conflict that you're experiencing, maybe you received an email or a text, and you're interpreting it in a certain way that is causing you to have heightened emotions. And your heightened emotions may be coming from a lot of different things. It could be PMS. It could be that you're already stressed about something else. It could be lack of sleep. Like, there's all these different like reasons that you're going to have heightened emotions in one way or another. And so, yes, emotional regulation is key to then how you are responding. So most of the time I say to you and I say to other clients, and I even say to my husband, we need to get into a better space, a better headspace before you do anything. We got to calm down. We got to do some self-soothing, some self-care until like, wait until tomorrow, wait for an hour, go take a walk before you do anything, because reacting and responding in the space that you're in right now is not going to be helpful. And you may even look back and regret how you behaved because you weren't in your own like normal like space of rational thinking and feeling wise and really in control of your behaviors.
Absolutely. I look back at a lot of times in high school when I felt that way. And it's funny because that's when you start to realize that you have to learn emotional regulation. And so, I mean, connect the dots all the way up until this point. Well, then let's talk about life as a title holder. Mm. Who is in your space? Who do we not want in our space?
Okay. Well, this was something that my coach talked to me about a lot, was determining who's in your inner circle. And I love that. And I use it all the time now. So your inner circle is going to include the people that are closest to you, the people that you rely on, and the people that you trust the most. And your inner circle does not have to be big. In fact, it really shouldn't be that big. Definitely less than 10 people in that inner circle. Otherwise, it gets too crowded. So maybe your family members, but not always. Friends, maybe your directors or volunteers within the organization that you're competing in. And, you know, if you have any coaches, if you have a vocal coach or a walking coach or, you know, a trainer or dance instructor or somebody like that, that you rely on and trust to give you accurate feedback and helpful feedback that is in a way that you'll be able to receive and it's constructive, but not going to tear you down. Outside of your circle are going to be those that you don't trust, or you can't trust for them to always validate you or to help you feel better, or help you get to a space where you're seeing things clearly or handling things in the best way.
I always thought of my inner circle as kind of the average of the 5 to 8 people that I see or talk to the most. If that helps you narrow down a little bit more. Yeah, I think it was really easy for me to figure out who wasn't in my inner circle. It just came down to, do you know who I am, why I am the way that I am? And if the answer was no, even a little bit to either of those questions, that's just not, I don't know, just not somebody that I need anything from as a title holder, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. So can you tell me about how you utilized your inner circle this year, how you continue to do that, or even more specifically at Miss America? Because we had a lot of conversations about who's in it, who's not in it, and what do we go to each person for, kind of planning ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, to answer your question, having somebody for specific reasons, right? And that's not to sound like I'm using people for things, but knowing what they might be best at. My mom is not going to be someone that I go to for, say, communication advice, right? She's someone that I can go to for comfort. If I need basic needs met, if I needed food, if I needed supplies, if I forgot something, like she knew that she could help with that. And she likes helping with those things, those tangible actions that she knew that she could do to help me. I would go to somebody else, my partner's mom, for styling, for borrowing clothes, because she was good at that and she loved doing that. And I would go to somebody like you for mindset, for communication, or mindset glitches. You have to be the one to identify what you think those people bring to the table and ask yourself, is that something that I need help with? If it is, and somebody can help you with that, great. It's kind of like you need a bunch of different tools while you're there, but you can't necessarily hold on to them all yourself. And so you kind of hand them off to a few different people that hold on to it for you. And when you need that tool, you go to them.
And you may or may not need to do this with the people in your inner circle, depending on your relationship with them. But I think it's always safe to avoid assuming or having expectations of people that you don't actually clearly line up with them. Asking, can you be my person for this? Can I count on you when I may be experiencing X, Y, and Z?
Yes.
So that they know that if you are reaching out to them, that that may be one of the things that they're, you know, that you, I mean, you shouldn't only be talking to the people in your inner circle when you need them. But what I'm saying is, like, they know kind of what you need from them specifically.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, they're your inner circle because you talk to them already or you interact with them already every day. It's not like you went to, that's the thing. If they're in your inner circle, if they're a part of this team that you have, you aren't just going to them for these specific things. You're right. That is kind of telling of who is in your inner circle.
Let's talk about relationship building and how that directly affects avoiding conflict or healthier conflict resolution. Because in your inner circle, we talked about one of the groups of people that you may have in your inner circle would be your pageant directors or volunteers within the organization that you're competing in. And as a brand new title holder, most likely you have brand new directors, brand new volunteers within this organization that you are now representing, and you may not have a relationship with them yet. Let's talk about the importance of building that relationship for a few reasons. One, it'll be more fun. Two, why not make more friends? Three, you'll have a better understanding of who they are. They'll know you more, and then you can start kind of establishing the relationship and the expectations of each other in that relationship. It's so many different benefits to relationship building. So I wanted to ask you what your experience has been with relationship building mistakes, successes, regrets, things you would do differently.
I think the first key to a success within a relationship building process is to never assume anything. It's funny because anytime I've sent a text message where it's been like, I don't want to assume, but blah, 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 it's always been like, yeah, you're right. You shouldn't have assumed because X, Y, Z. And it was like, great, awesome. We're on the same page. And so I just think it's funny that anytime I'm like, I don't want to assume, it's like, yep, you're validated. You shouldn't assume. That has been my number one priority, I could say, when interacting with anybody. I want to know what it is at face value. It always comes back to being a journalist. I'm here to get down to the bottom of things. I don't want to perceive things that are not true, right? That is my first and foremost intention, is to understand what is going on at face value, nothing else.
Kind of removing the emotional reaction as much as you possibly can, getting to a neutral space.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I have to do that with my job. And I think that that helps me often in life circumstances. And to answer the other half of your question, I actually had a conversation with the local title holder yesterday. And she had asked me, what is something that you wish that you could go back and change from your year as Miss Wisconsin? And I said, well, I wish that I had a chance to sit down not only with the people in the organization that were new to my life, but have them sit down with my family or my family structure. And as silly as it sounds, some sort of team bonding exercise, some sort of get to know each other, because I felt like this year, my year as Miss Wisconsin, there were a lot of misconceptions and assumptions on either end that were a lot of the times just untrue or just didn't happen or whatever it was. And it stemmed a lot from just not knowing people, just not knowing things that have went on and why they became the way that they are, why they make certain choices. Like, that is essential. That is foundational to having success in any area of people, just people in general. If you're around people, you need that kind of bond in order to be successful. You can't have a conversation with anybody without knowing at least a little bit of something about them to start that conversation, right? So that to me was a foundational aspect that I just didn't realize how necessary it would be until I think it was, I don't want to say too late because I don't think it's ever too late, but I just think that a lot of things had passed, a lot of things were swirling around quickly and it was Miss America and it just wasn't a priority. And I think that's, I wish it was a priority.
Gosh, that's well said. And I think really helpful. Even for me, as I'm moving forward in anything that I'm doing too, is just to keep that in mind. There's a reason that companies do team bonding activities and icebreakers. It's so that we can really get to know one another, see each other as human beings, and really start to understand how we all tick.
Hey, it's no different than being in a classroom for a year. You're a title holder for a year. You're in a classroom for a year. First days, always icebreakers, team bonding, and getting to know each other. And it's like, you know, sometimes you still remember things from that first day of somebody in your class and it makes you laugh or you have an inside joke about it. So why wouldn't it be the same in any other circumstance where you're starting a year and then ending a year? I would tell any title holder that. Now that I know that, that is probably like one of my biggest pieces of advice now, is if anybody asks, at least get to know them. You don't have to love them. You don't have to be best friends with them. You don't have to go to them for XYZ, right? Like nobody's forcing you to do anything, but at least just know them a little bit. Just that.
I don't know what my experience would have been like had I not had these relationships that I built with my directors and with volunteers that I had worked with on the local level specifically. And they're still people that I love so dearly and consider family.
Well, can I ask you then? So I talked a little bit about how I lacked a lot of that just with my background of really only being in this organization for 2 years, like barely before I became Miss Wisconsin. And so while part of me knew that actually coming into all of this, I want to flip it to you because you had a very different experience. And I think it's going to be very helpful for people to hear your experience of gratitude and kind of the respect that you had throughout your years competing with directors. And how did that help you? What did you get that you didn't see me get because of that?
I feel like I had a village of people that I could go to that truly knew who I was. And it helped really overcome any kind of fear that people were misconstruing me because I had this village of people that knew me and that could speak to who I was and my character and my intentions as Miss Wisconsin. I think that was really helpful. And I guess that's one value of relationship building, is that you've got people then that truly do know your heart. And that's really important because rumors fly and the void board, which no one should go on. We heard, you know, you heard Miss America say it herself. Mm-hmm. Madison Marsh in her episode that we had her on was like, never went on the void boards. Don't go on them. It's a whole bunch of people that don't truly know you. The more people that know you, the more people that you have lovely relationships with, the more support you have behind you. That backing is really important. That's something that you're right, you didn't have. I competed in the Miss America organization for 4 years on the local level before becoming Miss Wisconsin, winning the title myself in 2014. And so that piece of it was essential for me. And it also helped me, I think, I didn't even realize that I was doing it, but you know, there were certain people on the board of directors at Miss Wisconsin that I did develop a relationship with. And again, like I didn't even realize that I was doing it, but that was really helpful for me in getting some things done that I wanted to do as Miss Wisconsin. One of my biggest things was helping the next Miss Wisconsin by creating some positive change for her and putting into place the booking system that you have. That was something that I fought for my year and worked really hard on. And there was conflict in that. There was a lot of conflict. There was misinterpretations of my intentions that I had to face. And very much like when I was saying, like, you got to step away and not be emotional in your response, that was lived experience for me. You know, when someone had, I was accused of being entitled. And that hurt me so hard because my intention from my side of the fence was, I just want this to be better for the next Miss Wisconsin. Like, this has been really difficult. We can streamline this. You know, it can be so much easier. And to be called entitled, I was like, check yourself, Rihanna. Like, how are you coming across right now? And so that's a great example of my intention versus their perception. And then I had this very emotional response because it cut me to my core. It actually hit a limiting belief of mine. So that experience was, I go back to that experience frequently when I'm helping you or anyone else with conflict resolution in communication.
Should we talk about assumptions then? Because what I heard is that your fight and your passion was so strong because you were actually fighting for the next girl, for somebody that wasn't you. And I think that a lot of the times passion can get misconstrued if we're not in a place where we know the other person's intentions.
Well, I think it was really helpful that I had a relationship with a couple of people on the board because they knew me to an extent that they respected where I was coming from. And this particular person that I had built a relationship with was someone that was hard to get along with. And previous Miss Wisconsins before me really struggled there. And for some reason, we clicked and they had a respect for me and I had a respect for them that really allowed me to go to them and ask for things that I needed and get advice. And they became more of a supporter of my efforts to make some of this change. And so that's what I mean by, you know, building that respect, not having expectations or having assumptions of other people, and being able to work with them then on a level that you wouldn't be able to if you didn't have that relationship built, because you will misinterpret so much more when you don't really know the person. I want to mention that in no way am I promoting manipulation. In no way am I promoting build relationships with people so that you can get what you want. That's not at all what this is. I don't want that to be misconstrued. I think that it's important to have good intentions. We want to build relationships with people because it's fun. It makes life that much better because we as a species need to connect with people for our own survival. So that's part of it. But, you know, there's so much value in, like, yes, it's fun. It's fun to build relationships like the sisterhood within pageantry that we develop. It's fun. And it will also help you grow and will help you in the future when, you know, I think you've talked about it before on the podcast where you talked about, you know, you've got friends in every single state. And that sounds like so funny and like almost cliche or like ridiculous, but you talked about how if you needed anything, you would have someone that you could go to and vice versa. Like there's value in having a relationship with you that you can actually provide great value to the people that you've connected with too. So it's not about build relationships so that you can get what you need or get what you want. There's so much more value to it. It just is helpful. It's a helpful aspect to your year as a title holder to have those strong relationships.
Well, we say that not just because it's going to make us the most successful title holder with appearances or with the work that we want to get done or changes, but with relationship building, you come across hiccups. You come across scenarios where you have to step out of your comfort zone in order to best be received by that person, or you put your emotions aside, right? The reason why relationship building is so prominent and powerful as a title holder is because you're learning skills that are going to help you be a good title holder. We're not just talking to people so that we can help get them to drive us around, or we're not just asking them to do some tasks for us. It's because while we're creating these relationships, we're building skills that are going to create not just a better title holder, but a better person. And that to me brings me to conflict and conflict resolution. Time and time again, it comes up in even a local title holder's year. I've heard a lot of stories this year about conflict and conflict resolution and how people have tried to go about it and have been successful or unsuccessful, and kind of what that looks like on either end.
Yes. So I think one thing that really frustrates me is when there's a conflict, but both sides aren't clearly understood. If there is a conflict, miscommunication, or someone did something that, you know, kind of went against the policy of the organization or whatever the conflict is, when it's between two people or two groups of people, if we don't understand both sides clearly, we can't come to a resolution. And you're going to do further damage. So we've seen this, we've both experienced this. I recently was working with you on an issue like this where something happened and the person that was confronting you only knew one side. They didn't even ask you your perspective and what happened from your side of the fence. And so you can't resolve a conflict that you don't know all sides of. So I think one thing to do, we talked about emotions and how emotions really drive a conflict, make it worse. Most often that's the culprit. You have to get into a neutral space in order to really understand and see all sides. And then from that neutral space, you can come up with some kind of a resolution, whether that is you need to apologize for your part in this, which often both sides should apologize, sometimes not. But the more you can understand from that neutral space, you can take action and you can problem solve from there. You cannot problem solve from heightened emotion. And that brings me to respect. Respect, professionalism, even appreciation. Like, you don't have to like someone to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to like someone to still appreciate them.
This is very true. This happens in the workplace. This happens in family dynamics. I mean, this happens a lot. And especially when you have a lot of people around you as a title holder and you're navigating not just relationships that you have, but relationships between other people. That has also been a huge part in navigating my year, quite frankly.
I know that there's been a couple of conversations that you and I had, especially early on, like leading up to Miss America, where we had to get to a neutral space. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus or anything. I asked you, it's like, what do you appreciate about this person? And you were like, what? Like you were so upset. And I was like,
appalled.
No, for real. Like, can we see the good and their good intentions behind just who they are and like what they're trying to do instead of just seeing how this is hurting you or like affecting you in this negative way? And that can be a really difficult thing to do, but how powerful was that?
I didn't realize how good I was going to feel because I put myself in a situation to be positive, like to just be positive for 5 seconds. And I think I walked away with just more calmness and more peace, right? Regardless of whether the conflict is not going to be snap of a finger and everything's perfect and dandy. Okay. Like that's not what we're talking about, but at least I was able to, I don't want to say be happy, but there was more positivity involved, which brought me to a more neutral space in order to best handle something that otherwise could have been blown out of proportion.
Whose responsibility is it to be professional, to have respect, to initiate conflict resolution?
I'm going to say, for a variety of reasons, that if you are involved in any sort of organization on any level, any sort of professional organization, and ultimately a business, right? I'm going to call it that. Pageantry is a business. And if you are involved in any way, shape, or form on either end and in any realm correlated, there is a responsibility there as a human to have that respect and professionalism. Doesn't matter who you are, but if you're involved, if you're in that space, that's your responsibility as a human being there.
Let's live in the and for a second. You can be angry at someone for their behavior. You can be angry at someone because you see their poor communication skills. You can be angry at them for the choices that they make and still see that they're a good person through it all and forgive them and be the bigger person and go ahead and try to resolve the conflict. You can have those skills. You can practice emotional regulation. You can practice clear communication. You can practice getting into a neutral space so that you can see all sides, so that you can approach the situation clear-headed. It is ultimately your responsibility. You can't expect, here we go, back to expectations. Oh my gosh, we go round and round. It's like a spider web of everything is connected. You can't expect someone else to just be skillful at all of these things and be mad at them because they don't have these skills when maybe you could be more skillful. If you're practicing more skills, then chances are it will result in a better outcome, even if they can't practice those skills. But if you're both not practicing those skills, then we're around and around we go. This is endless.
Right. And I was going to jump in. I was thinking that right before you said it, is that we cannot control what anybody else is doing. And so while we talk about these tools and these, I guess, coping mechanisms in a way, we can only do so much for us and ourselves. And so it's not a perfect formula. I feel like you said this in the very first episode. It's not a perfect formula. We cannot control what other people bring to the table or how they react, or ultimately, we could be the best versions of ourselves. And here's the thing, this is going to be a hard pill to swallow, and it's going to be hard for me too. We could be the best versions of ourselves in every aspect, and we might still be misconstrued. We might still have stories or perspectives out there that are not aligned with what we think we did. And we have to live with that. Welcome to life. Welcome to the world. That's a hard pill to swallow when you are in a public position. God, I think not even as Miss Wisconsin, as a media personality, I'm perceived every day. You will always have somebody or something that just didn't quite get it right about you. And it is what it is. We let it go. Because if we are practicing what we know we can do, all of those skills and all of those things that are hard to do as it is, and we can stand on that and we can have that foundation to where we are validating ourselves and that we are doing that work, that's all we can do. It's really all we can do.
Take ownership of the things you did wrong.
Absolutely.
Take responsibility for your mistakes when you have harmed someone intentionally or unintentionally, and let go of those misconceptions of who you are when you haven't done anything wrong, because it will happen. You cannot make everyone happy. Not everyone's going to like you, and it's okay. That's like Lila just said, that's life. So as we wrap up here, I want to conclude with one final note of advice. When you are in conflict, when you are in that heightened emotional space, go back to your inner circle, figure out who in your inner circle will be the best person to help you get to a neutral space and handle some conflict resolution together. Don't go to the person that is just going to spew venom with you. It's just going to make it that much worse. You're not going to feel better. You're just going to be more angry. go to the person that's going to actually help you resolve the situation, give you some solid, good advice and validate you at the same time, but provide really good advice.
Yeah, validation is not misery loves company. I think I learned as a young adult that anybody that is sitting in the space with you rather than helping to pull you out of that space is not being helpful. While it might feel good that they're sitting in that space with you, because like we said, misery loves company. I love when I'm complaining and people just want to complain right along with me. I get it. We all love that. But I realized very quickly that was not helpful. I even had a conversation with Logan about how I was struggling with just not feeling good a lot of the times. Like my baseline was no longer neutrality or feeling good. It was below that. And it was consistently below that for a while. And I actually told him, I was like, you know, I've been trying to focus on the good things and the things that I want out of situations. Can you help hold me accountable at in times where I am, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want this. Can you check me when you hear me saying those things and help me focus on the things that I do want? And he did. There were some conversations where I was like, oh, you really did just check me. You did that. And it was helpful because I voiced to him that I no longer wanted help in this way. Instead, while you see that I need help in these same situations, right? Can we just kind of do it this way? And I told him that before I knew all of this was going to come up again, right? I knew there was going to be a time that this was going to happen, and I knew that he would have to help me in this way and to voice what I wanted in terms of help. We still do it to this day, and it's very helpful. So
I love that. You are empowering each other, and you're helping each other be better people. That's really cool. You're not helping someone be a better person if you're just spewing venom with them. You're really not.
Well, right. And then I would look at him, and I'd be like, well, you don't feel good. Now I just brought you down with me, and now I don't feel good. Now we're all just like, meh. You know?
How many times have you apologized to me because you're like, I don't want to bring you down. I'm like, dude, we're good.
No,
I'm at a neutral space and I can help you. Or there have been times where we've both been spewing. And then I like one of us is like, we need to stop.
And the shift is almost immediate when you decide that you don't want to do that anymore. It's almost like you get the ick, you know, you're yes. like, no more.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Get
That's what
ick.
We have for you today.
Uh-huh.
Get the ick for misery. Yes. Yes. Well,
and I like that we touched on how Logan was supporting me, because next, I think we're going to be talking a lot about how a supporter can support somebody. And so that's good. That's a good transition to end out this episode here. And hopefully this will translate into the next one.
Absolutely. Cool. All right, Lila, be good people. Own your mistakes and let go of the rest.
Bye. Hey, we want you to be a part of our growing community. Hit that subscribe button now to stay up to date with the latest insights and strategies straight from industry experts and seasoned competitors. Whether you're a seasoned competitor or just starting your journey, our podcast is your go-to resource for all things pageantry. In each episode, we explore topics like mastering the interview, perfecting your stage presence, navigating the world of pageants, and cultivating confidence. And while you're at it, leave us a review. Your feedback fuels our passion to bring you valuable content that resonates with your journey. Join our community of successful women from around the globe. Subscribe, tune in, and let's embark on this journey together.